T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Campy, thank you very much. This hour of the show is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Shane, let's ride. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I know you've been like, where you been, man? Shep's been up in here. My man Anthony Heron, Hub. Appreciate them holding down the show. I was on assignment. I'll be on assignment again tomorrow. They moved me. I am the Scores Ben Zobrist. Like when he was like good. Not like now. Like not even last year. Like when he was 6-war Ben Zobrist in Tampa. Like that dude. I'm that Ben. Was he ever 6-war? I don't know. Probably, right? 4-war maybe? Yeah, I feel like there's a year in Tampa where he was like a 6-war. Anyway. I'm that version of Ben Zobrist. So I get moved around. They go, okay, hey, go host with Spiegs. I was like, all right. Me and Spiegs, the Scores middle children, we get to hang out for a little bit. And we'll get to do it again tomorrow. I'm
8-6-war, Tampa Bay, 2008.
Yeah.
8-7-war, Tampa Bay, 2011.
Yeah, that's
no, that's on me. That one's on me.
That's the Ben Zobrist I am.
Speaking of things like this, where is your man at?
Who?
Did he, like, travel to the moon?
Who?
Danny Parkins.
He went to Italy.
For 2 weeks?
He's on his honeymoon.
For 2 weeks?
I think he's back now, but, you know, you can't go over there and then come back here and host the show, because you're all messed up.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering. Yeah.
Because he tweeted at me today, and I thought that he was doing, like, a Twitter blackout while he was in Italy. He'll be back on Monday.
He was supposed to. I was filling in for Jay one day. We set an over-under of, like, 2 tweets that he would send while he was in Italy.
Well, he had
to. Skyrocketed the over.
Well, once the Quintana deal, like, you got to – it's one of the problems with this great, great job is that you try to unplug. Even when you try, I'm sure that he didn't think in a million years that something that cataclysmic would happen. That the Cubs and the White Sox would make a trade for Quintana.
Yeah, them having their Iron Man streak messed up is messing up our Iron Man streak. Get back here, Parkins.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you're right. But it's what happened. So if Mitch needs me to play shortstop, I play shortstop. If he needs me to play left field, play left field. If he needs me to catch, I can catch.
So if you're shortstop, what does that make Camp and Zawoski in that show?
They're the first and third base coaches.
And Spiegel would be cleanup?
Yeah, he's back. I mean, however you want to do the score lineup, you can say that he's the 5-hitter or whatever.
Jay and Rick can't even get in the game?
I mean, do they really want to be in the game?
I think they want to play.
No, it's a horrible station.
Well, here's the thing.
That chain was at.
Well, can't be host, so I guess he has to, if we're doing the baseball analogy, since can't be host, then he would have to be on the roster, right?
He's John Jay.
No, he's not that good.
Wow.
He's not John Jay.
Yeah, I don't have that much range.
He's Tommy La Stella. You know?
I also hate Iowa.
So what would happen if we sent him up the dial? Would he refuse to play?
It depends on where we sent him. If you leave a championship team and then Vocal you end world. Up, you know, at a bad place, then you're not feeling too good about it.
Don't test me.
See? Doesn't want to get sent down. But yeah, I'm the score Swiss Army knife. Need me to host a show at night? Great. Need me to go hang out with Bernstein and babysit him for 5 hours? Fine. Speaks and I have actually had a lot of fun. We did the hip-hop album draft or the rap album draft. It's good. I say hip-hop because he said the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And I do consider that. Jason was giving us grief. I do consider that a hip-hop album. It's not necessarily a rap album, but it's a hip-hop album.
By the
sure.
way, on that, I think Tanny won.
Well, yeah. The DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won. He got, like, he was a third pick, and he got, like, all the best. Like, how do you guys let Illmatic go past?
Because, look, I was drafting Wu-Tang number one. I didn't care where I was. Into the Wu-Tang was getting drafted number one. And, you know, GMs fall in love with players. I don't think that I overdrafted Wu-Tang either.
You're like Kenny. You always get your guy.
Always. It doesn't matter if it's 10 years later. Get him. But no, that's why I've been gone. I've been in and out of doing this show because I've been in and out doing that show. Shout out to In-N-Out Burger. Overrated. But did you get Animal Style? What does that do for me?
It's always a good burger when you got to add extra stuff to
it. Yeah, it's that's my, you know what, Herbie? That's my whole thing. My whole thing is all I need on the burger is cheese. If your burger is trash, then I'll know. With just with cheese on it, occasionally bacon. But don't tell me your burger is great because you got Thousand Island dressing on it. And that's hot. And it's always like, oh my God, like, all right, excuse me, I need to go on a tangent for just a second. I promise I'll get back to the Cubs and the White Sox. Every time you go out west, every time, let's say you say you're going to go to In-N-Out Burger. It's literally the first question that'll pop up in your comments. Can you Animal Style? Yes, you've heard of In-N-Out Burger. Congratulations. No, I didn't get an Animal Style. It's a quality burger. Don't get me wrong. In-N-Out Burger, solid. But the way people talk about it, you get an Animal Style, go bleep yourself. How about that?
And the fries are trash, too.
Fries need some help.
Steak and Shake is better.
I agree with you, Shane.
It's open 24 hours.
I don't know if and Shake is better, but Shake Shack is better.
They need some help with their fries, too.
I went to Shake Shack the other day. I paid $18 for a cheeseburger, fries, and a vanilla shake. Get out of my house.
And you ate well. That was delicious, wasn't it?
I was still hungry.
And now they got the Shake Shack right next to the Do Right Donuts.
And they got one going up in Wrigleyville at the new hotel. There's going to be one on the bottom floor.
I know where Herbie will be. Good Animal Style. Let me get back to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Riverside and John. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Lawrence, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, it's interesting, you know, you bringing up this topic of how, you know, White Sox fans feel right now and you know, the appearance that everyone seems to be pretty happy and embracing this. And I agree with that, and I think there's several reasons for it. I think one of them obviously being when last December when Chris Sale was dealt and, you know, the day after Adam Eaton was dealt. I mean, it was pretty clear what this year was going to be. And, you know, for the first time in really a long time, I mean, there were very little expectations going into the season, and really the expectations were going to be for the minor leagues. And the one thing now that I think there's a couple bumpy places that are kind of coming ahead of us for White Sox fans. One of them obviously is that this team's going to be really bad for a while.
Yep.
You know, I think even with the deal the other night, I mean, what that did to this bullpen, you know, there's going to be some 6-1 leads that are going to disappear quick.
Absolutely.
But that's part of it, and people need to understand that. The other thing that I think is going to be harder for some to accept, and I think is going to bring a bit of regret at the time, and I'm pretty certain this is going to happen one way or another, is when we get to October and you see Chris Sale mowing down people for Boston, or you see Quintana mowing down people for the Cubs, and you're going to get this, we didn't get enough for him. And, you know, towards the beginning of the year when Sale had that, you know, unbelievable start, and which really shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody, you know, you had some Sox fans out there. Why didn't they get Ben Attendee in the deal? You know, they didn't get enough. You know, there's nobody here to justify the trade right now. I don't understand that. And, you know, the ability to hang on for a couple years is going to be difficult. And I think that's the one difference with the Cubs situation when they did this is the Cubs really didn't have any Chris Sale or Quintana like assets that they could that they traded immediately and were still young and producing for another team.
Well, I mean, there are people who argue that DJ LeMahieu is one of those dudes.
How many World Series did he win, though? Or how many playoff appearances does he have? You know,
how many does Chris Sale have?
Over spotlight for him.
How many does Chris Sale have?
Well, he's going to have one this year.
Well, maybe. I mean,
they're going to go to the playoffs. I mean, you're going to see him in October.
But I'm just saying that there at least was one really good player that the Cubs parted with.
Right, and then you can argue Samardzija too at that point in time.
Exactly. It happens. This is part of the growth. This is part of it, and I honestly think that White Sox fans are with it. Now, here's what's funny. When I had Rick Hahn on a couple weeks ago, I threw the attendance number at him. And at the time, the White Sox were only down per game in attendance about 500 people. Since then, the White Sox are now actually over the average for attendance from last year. And they still have the Cubs games to play. When I threw that at him and asked him about White Sox fans buying into what they're doing, here's what he told me.
Overall, from what I'm hearing from fans and the volume and tenor of my 2 a.m. voicemails at the office, that overall fans get what we're doing. They are on board. There's a level of enthusiasm about our prospects and where we are in this whole process. I think we're all going to be tested at times. You know, last night was a tough one around here. It was a bit of an ugly game, and there's going to be other nights like that. At the same time, I think fans now are starting to look down at the minor league system, checking in, seeing that Moncada hit a home run last night, that Alec Hansen did a nice job in his first start up there in Winston-Salem. And each night there's a little bit something that gives you a glimmer of what the future may look like, and fans are embracing that.
Maybe White Sox fans learned from their Cubs fan brethren on how to do this. But I'll just tell you that as an organization goes, and I'll go back to my experience Tuesday night. You know what the White Sox did Tuesday night during the game? Clayton Kershaw is out there doing his thing. White Sox are hanging in there. They were showing highlights from the minors, and fans were cheering. This is what I mean. The renaissance of the White Sox fan, to me, is pretty amazing. I like it. And for my own personal mental health, I know the road is hard, man. I know that as a fan, it can be rough. And I know that you and I, as White Sox fans, have gone through some really rough times. It's different when you know. It's different when you know that you can unplug if you want to. That if you don't feel like it, I've given away socks. You know, I have a pair of tickets now to, I think, 33 games this year. I've given away a lot of tickets, and that was kind of the purpose. You know, like, I felt like as a White Sox fan, I wanted to reward the White Sox as an organization for taking a direction that I've been wanting them to do for the last 3 years. So I spent some money. I wanted to put my money where my mouth was and also give you an opportunity to go to games. I get requests for those tickets a lot. When I give away those tickets on Instagram and on Twitter, by the way, if you're on Instagram, you need to be following me. Because I picked up some. All right, look. Between me and you, I know nobody's listening. I saw some stuff over at White Sox today, and I may have left with it. And I think that you're going to benefit from it. I got some White Sox gear that I'm going to give away on this show and on my Instagram account, at Lawrence W. Holmes. If you're on Instagram, you need to be following me. Is dope. Shane, I would hope you're already following me on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm following you. I'm just going to look right now.
Okay. I haven't put it up there yet. Herbie has it, though.
Oh, that one?
Uh-huh.
Fashionable.
Uh-huh. Very fashionable. Very fashionable. So that's what is amazing to me, is that you're seeing people that are buying into this concept. And maybe it is learning from Cubs fans who went through it and knowing that you might not get the reward of winning a World Series. Like that, what happened to the Cubs wasn't just rare because it was the Cubs. It was also rare because of how they went about rebuilding and how quickly they were able to reap the benefits of it. But at least it's a direction. And I'm proud of you. The White Sox fans that I've been interacting with this season and when I've gone to games, and I've gone to more games this year than ever, the interaction has been positive. People aren't even necessarily worried about the game that's happening in front of them. And it's a great way to watch baseball. Baseball without consequences. Now, they can't do this in perpetuity. You know, I'm not going to be sitting here in 2020 talking about the White Sox rebuild and them getting beat 9-1 and not being a team that's contending. I probably won't be happy then. But for now and next year and probably the year after that, I get where they're going and I'm glad they're going that way. And you get some treats along the way, like Yoan Moncada getting called up. You get to watch this, man. You get to watch. You get to say, okay, I may not have had a reason to go see the White Sox in 2017, but they just called up Moncada. I'm going to go watch a couple games. I'm going to be a part of it. I really just like the transformation. I think it's great. I think it's just nice to see White Sox fans happy for once. And enjoying baseball instead of fretting. We do a lot of fretting as a fan base. We're worried about stuff that we don't need to be worried about. And now, it's like, it's like everyone like took a deep breath and started looking around. It's like, baseball's great. It's kind of nice. Not a lot of pressure on the boys. Our GM and vice president and owner seem to all be on the same page. And this is pretty cool. You get to enjoy the ballpark in a different way now.
And then Tim Anderson bunts in the second inning and doesn't hustle to first base.
Yeah, that was not good. Those are learning moments. Didn't bust it out of the box. Was looking at the bunt. I don't know what you were doing. Because he should never get doubled off. Ever.
He should also never bunt in the second inning.
It's a manager that's working out some stuff, too. I'm with you on that.
He should also never bunt.
He's got time.
Well, never sacrifice bunt.
No, he should definitely bunt for hits. And I don't know about sacrificing in the first inning or second inning of any game ever. But different strokes for different folks. Shout out to Arnold. RIP. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A couple of texts have come in. This one from the 815. I'm a diehard Cub fan, and last night I tuned in to the Sox game to watch Moncada. Baseball in Chicago is going to be fun and interesting. Yeah. That's right, Tim and Aurora. It is. Another texter from 60 says, Lawrence, you were so on your honeymoon with the White Sox. Yeah. And I told you the window where I'll get upset, but I will tell you that there are things that you do need to be cognizant of. And that's development doesn't end when a guy makes it to the major leagues. I asked Rick Hahn specifically about this. Pay attention to his answer.
Without giving away proprietary stuff, mm-hmm. What's the difference as far as development goes for someone that's at AAA versus the development that happens here?
The game's faster here. The game's faster here. There's a third deck, and there's higher level scrutiny. More of you all show up on a given day to ask questions about the night before or their performance or what's going on and why they're not meeting expectations, so to speak. So whether you're taking, let's take a position player, a guy who's we've been working on certain things with defensively, he can only be tested to a certain extent at AAA. It gets you a long way of the way there, but the game is faster up here. And when he gets here, you're going to see a few foibles along the way in all probability, and how quickly we're able to iron those things out is going to further that development. It's going to help put those finishing touches. You know, there's also, again, just a little bit higher level of scrutiny, a little bit higher level of pressure. Guys got to get used to those expectations. Guys got to get used to answering to you guys every day. It's just a different level of scrutiny. Now, again, we've talked about this before, and it's when guys fail in the minors, that's actually helpful in their development in the long term because they learned how to get out of it. And inevitably, since the game's tougher up here, they are going to fail up here. So that's sort of another element of the development, is their ability to reach back to what they learned in the minors when they struggle, when they're struggling on the biggest stage, and pull themselves back out of it again. So that's another element that you can't replicate in the minors. That can only happen at the big leagues.
Keep that in mind when it comes to Moncada or Kopech or any of the other prospects that come up. I also want to keep that in mind for one of the Cubs. I'll talk about that after Rick is done with his scoreboard update. So when you heard Rick Hahn talking about prospects and how the development doesn't end for guys once they get to the major leagues, I want you to use that when looking at Kyle Schwarber. Because that's the thing I've been yelling for the first half of this year. That guy is just now getting close to a full year of baseball. Just now. Now I have my thoughts on what he is and what he might not be. I don't think he's Babe Ruth. You know, but that doesn't mean that he's, yeah, Shane, I know, right? That doesn't mean that he can't be a really good player or maybe even a great player.
Babe Ruth hit 186 in 1935. So
how many at bats?
25.
Okay. So I thought. When I look at him, those are things that you have to remember, and that you have a guy who is still developing and is going to have to make adjustments for that development to happen. Do you realize, like, how great Chris Bryant is? That dude came up here and just was like, I'm not just staying, I'm going to dominate. On every level, that guy was the most valuable player, right? High school player of the year, junior college player of the year, college player of the year, futures game MVP, rookie of the year, and then MVP of the National Damn League in his second year. That's rare. Mike Trout went down to the minors. Mike Trout may go down as the greatest player who's ever lived. And that dude went to the minors. Just realize that the hit rate that the Cubs have been on with their prospects is ridiculously high. Like, it's not supposed to happen that way. And don't expect it to happen that way for the White Sox or look at the Twins. How many times has Buxton been up and down? And wasn't he the number one dude in the game for a while? And he's been up and down a couple times. It happens. I do think sometimes I feel like they have a bit of a blind spot for Schwarber. And I didn't quite understand why they brought him back before All-Star break, but now it makes sense, you know? Got him some at-bats, got him some confidence, came out of this at least the start. I think he was on a five-game hit streak for a while. Now we'll see if the league adjusts back. That's going to be his whole career, adjustments. Can he make it? I want to talk about the Cubs. I want to talk about their rush here in the second half. And I hate to tell you this, Brewers fans, but ooh, boy. Y'all messed up. You know you done messed up, right?
You going to go on a Milwaukee station and trigger those guys like you did in Pittsburgh last year? Remember KDKA last year?
Yeah, well, it was earlier this year. They're still mad at me. No, but I was on Mueller's show in Pittsburgh before I headed out there. I was out at PNC Park. I got to talk about that, too. Man, this lady. All right, I'll just tell you the story now. Instead of teasing you, I'll just tell you. My wife and I went to the game. She's a Cardinals fan, so we went to go see Pirates Cardinals. PNC Park is my number one sporting venue, period. Not number one baseball place, number one sporting venue. Period. So we're having a good time. We got great seats. Shout out to Mitch for the great seats. We sat in the equivalent would be, if you've ever been to the Gold Club at White Sox, that's the equivalent. Now, I'm not trying to dog the White Sox, because anytime they ask me if I can get Gold Club tickets, I'm down, because it's perfect, because inside and outside gives you a little bit of both. They got a dessert table. I'm down for that. This place in Pittsburgh was like that on steroids. Now, you had to pay for your food, but the view is incredible. Shane, they have a pool hall in there. There's a four-table pool hall.
I saw your Instagram pictures. It looked pretty.
We were walking through there, and I just couldn't speak, because they had everything you want. It has everything. The amenities are great. The food was excellent. Burgers made to order on this level. The skyline, if they just took Sox Park and just rotated it, like just turned it north. First of all, Pittsburgh itself, I think, is a great city. And shout out to Alicia Roman, who's from Pittsburgh. And I said, hey, I'm going to Pittsburgh. What should I do? And she's like, take the Minocqua Incline and hang out in Mount Washington. Had a great breakfast. Saw some incredible sights. Put it on your list. Look, the people at PNC, the Pirates, they don't pay me. They don't pay me. The City of Pittsburgh Tourism Board does not pay me. If you are a baseball fan, if you're a Cub fan, when's the next time the White Sox are playing the Central? If the White Sox are playing in Pittsburgh, I'm going. And if you're a Cub fan, put it on your list and say, when the Cubs go back to Pittsburgh, you're going to go. Trust me. Their version of the L, okay, in Pittsburgh is free downtown.
That's such a deal right there.
There are 10 stops. Now, one of the stops takes you, the last stop is Rivers Casino, baby. But the 10 stops downtown, which puts you at PNC Park and at Heinz Field, free. You just walk up. Now, if you live out in the burbs or deeper into the city, you got to pay. And it's like $2.
Yeah, and the inclines were like $2 too.
I think it ended up being $3.50. It was $3.50.
Because we went on the Duquesne one and just saw the whole Pittsburgh.
See all the rivers. The Andy Warhol Museum is right behind PNC Park. The bridges. Like I said, the City of Pittsburgh Tourism Board doesn't pay me.
That Voodoo Donut place, wherever you guys went to? We went to whatever it's called.
We didn't go to Voodoo Donuts.
What's that
Voodoo
called?
Voodoo Donuts in Colorado. Did you go to that one?
No, we didn't go there. But the place you went to, we went there too.
Oh, the Peace, Love, and Little Donuts.
Yeah, that one. I was going to say
the one with Joe Madden outside. Groovy Joe. He's a Pennsylvania guy, right? Probably him. Yeah, the pictures are up on Instagram. It was great. But so I'm standing there. We had these gray seats. This woman kept going back and forth in the row, and we were on the aisle. So I have a drink in one hand, and I'm taking pictures with my phone in the other. My wife and I are talking about the game. Crack. Foul ball comes our way. Had I had a hand free, I could have made a play. No, I mean, it was that close. Like, I could have made a play. And had I had a hand free, I would have. The woman who had been walking in and out of the aisle, it happened like it was in slow motion. And I just felt like being, no, you know, like something. She turned her back, hit her right on the shoulder. And then she started crying. It was messed up.
Was it really that hard that she had to cry?
I mean, it got up there in a hurry. But I mean, I don't know if she was crying because she was hurt or because she was embarrassed. Because she turned into it like Anthony Rizzo. And it hit her in the shoulder blade. And then it was just a wrap. Like,
How old was this girl, lady?
She had to have been like in her mid-40s, maybe early 50s.
And she kept on getting up and getting out of the aisle and walking in and out.
Yeah.
Karma.
Police.
Karma.
Well, stop doing that. She did it. Well, the ball was in play. Mm. You wouldn't think that a foul ball would get you there because, I mean, it was a 200 level. But it
probably
hit
had
her.
Some pace on it, too.
Man, it hit her square. Like we heard it. It's like. And then she left, and she never came back. This is like the second inning, man.
How many times she get up in the before the second inning?
Herbie, she got up a lot.
Ugh.
And Mel goes, because this is exactly her. You think we got on TV? Like, yes, that woman just got beat. We were totally on Pittsburgh television. And that woman's going to sue. She can't sue. It's on the ticket. But Pittsburgh, man. Aces. Shout out to PNC Park, folks in Pittsburgh, my man Muller on our sister station over there. And Peace, Love, and Little Donuts in the Strip. Quality. My pictures are on the Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes, if you know. Back after this on the Score. Cubs and Cardinals. That series starts up tomorrow afternoon. At Wrigley Field, we'll have the games for you here on the Score. Kind of jacked up about this. Cubs are on a winning streak. Cardinals have been playing okay. They find themselves only 3.5 games behind the Cubs. They got a stud on the mound tomorrow in Martinez. I'm going Sunday night. I think I went to opening night last year. Was it a Sunday night game? Was that the Cardinals too? I think it was. So I'm going Sunday night. I'm excited to see this because don't tell anyone I said this, but I think the Cubs are going to win the division by double digits. I said that in the first half, not just because of this run. I don't trust the rest of the teams in the division. I do feel bad for Milwaukee a little bit. And I won't feel too bad for them. They're still 6 games above 500. They're having a great season. They're probably a little bit early. I will say that my struggle on Sunday is going to be what type of cap I wear to the game, if I wear one. I think I have it. Look, I'm not going to wear a Cubs cap. Not a Cubs fan. Wife is a Cardinals fan. This often causes problems. She's going to be hooting and hollering and wearing her Cardinals gear and all that good stuff, which is fine. But that leaves me in a very awkward position as a White Sox fan. So I think I've made my choice. Now, the problem is that the cap I'm going to wear is red. It's the USA baseball cap. I think I'm safe with that. Even though it's red. I picked up a Homestead Grays cap while I was in Pittsburgh. That might be the way to go. Although people were like, is that a Georgetown cap? No. Negro League's like one of the most famous teams. Whatever. But I think USA Baseball is what I'm going to do. So when you see me, like, just check the cap before you get mad. Like, it's not a Cardinals cap. It's going to be a USA baseball cap. Shout out to Adam Jones. Remember that catch? But I'm excited for this second half of the season for the Cubs because you know what's great about it? It reboots 2015. It reboots the chase. Think about it. Going into this season, you were like, Cubs got this on lock. World champions, division's weak, they got it. Then there's the adversity that happens. The team's not good. Everyone seems injured. Pitchers can't go past 5 innings. Folks talking about the Cubs should sell. It really bothered me. I don't know why it bothered me. I can tell you why it bothered me. It bothered me because these dudes were close to the division lead. If they were Texas or Seattle, or and clearly out of the division race like those teams are in the American League West, I don't care if Carlos Correa is hurt or not. If you're talking about a lead of 15 and a half games, which is what the Astros have, and you're out of it, okay. I still don't think the concept of selling is the thing that the Cubs should be doing. But I asked Theo straight up and down, if proximity to a division changes the way you look at going about trading. Yes, as it should. If you think you can win the division, you should try and win the division. Not a wild card. Not being the fifth team to get in. But if you have a chance to win the division, and at the time that we had the conversation with Theo, I think the Cubs were three games back of Milwaukee. Not scared. And I'm glad the Cubs didn't play it that way. And it's brilliant, too, because Quintana's not a rental. Quintana's a guy that's going to be here for another 2 years that will be at the top of their rotation for the next 2 years. They brought in a 200-inning dude. And yeah, the price was steep. You're giving away prospects that people wanted. Eloy Jimenez is a prospect people wanted. Dylan Cease, prospect that people wanted. And the Cubs made the move. Your front office is committed. And people talk about prospects, right? This is part of what they're supposed to do. Prospects are supposed to help the major league club. Whether that means the prospect comes up and plays for the major league club or gives the major league club an asset. And it was also, like, it was so, it also was Theo saying, I did my job. It's Theo and Jack going, we did our job. Get your acts together in that clubhouse. You kept talking about how you wanted help. Damn it, I gave you some help. Now go do something with it. Instead of making us look like idiots up in here. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Hey, yeah, fellow Sox fan. I haven't had a chance to talk to many Sox fans about the moves that have been made. And the thing I wanted to ask you, Lawrence, is do you think that Melky or anybody else will be moved? And if so, what do you think the Sox could get for someone like Cabrera at this point?
I feel like Melky is a perfect guy to add to the Astros. I think that makes a lot of sense. Even though they don't really need help offensively. By the way, Melky takes the worst routes to baseball. But they could use that bat. I don't think there's a lot left. Like if you're expecting some sort of big deal, I don't think you're gonna get a great prospect back for what's left of the White Sox. That's okay. You got some pretty good ones already. But you never know. There might be a guy that slipped through the crack or some pitcher that Coop thinks he can fix. And maybe they rehabilitate Tyler Clippard in the next week and flip him. All those things are possible. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my man Dave Hellum is going to join us. If you're like, who's Dave Hellum? He's a local comedian. If you've seen the show Hood Adjacent, he writes for it. He's in town. He's got a comedy show. We're going to talk to you about it, and I'm sure we're going to talk about OJ and probably R. Kelly. So get ready for that. Back after this on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.